Dan Zeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined, as always, by a man whose Ferrari never met a neighborhood zone it didn't want to speed through, Mark Sessler.
Are you trying to link me indirectly to Justin Bieber?
A vilified pop star and Mark Sessler, one in the same.
Very few parallels.
You know, Mark, we've been promising a special guest on the Debate Club for several weeks, and we finally came up with one for listeners, and it's a special one, right?
Yeah, we finally have, and I think, I think we've done a good job here. We have what many people consider to be not only the finest Cleveland Brown in history,
right,
but arguably the greatest football player of all time, Jim Brown. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here, guys.
That was a pretty good intro, right?
Yeah, I liked it. It was all right.
All right, so I guess we want to start with what's kind of in the news with you right now. You are now back with the Browns, and at age 77, my question is, what prompted you to want to be involved still?
Well, I don't look at age like a lot of people. You know, I'm old, mm-hmm. and I admit being old, but I don't think old, and my kids don't think of me as being old, and I hope my wife don't think too much about it. But I like to be relevant. I like to be involved. I like to make change. And being with the Browns will help me make change. Being with the league will help me make change. And I'm very happy about that. And with the Browns being my family, I'm back. Glad to be back home. You know, it was not too comfortable the last 3 years not being around them.
If we would have talked to you a year ago and told you, hey, you're going to be with the Browns in an advisor position again, would you have said I was crazy?
No, I wouldn't have looked at it that way, because in the National Football League, things change all the time.
Right.
And I knew that the people that were there were not Clevelanders. They really didn't have too much to do with Cleveland. They had, you know, Green Bay background and Seattle background. And, you know, I don't think they had the love for Cleveland that I would have, or someone that played there would have. So, you know, you kind of know there's going to be some kind of a change.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see what's happened with the club over the last year. Haslam comes in. Immediately a very engaged owner. I think that what he brought with him was an energy from the ownership position that fans just hadn't seen in a long time. A lot of dedication. He came and he said, I'm going to bring this team back to its winning ways. I can see why that would attract you to come back with him. Your early thoughts on Haslam, one question that I have is that there is this stuff bubbling up with the company he owns, and the fans just have so much hope in what he's shown so far. Should the fans be concerned about the lawsuits that are piling up?
Well, we're always concerned about things. But we take things as they come, and we go by instincts and our intellect. And I am not worried at all about Jimmy Haslam. I consider him a friend. I consider him a bright human being, a compassionate human being. My wife and I love his wife. And I say that, you know, because they have been very kind to us and have been very respectful of us. So if anyone have to worry about controversy, you're looking at it. Jim Brown brings you enough of that. And so life goes on and life proves itself. And when we made the announcement, he didn't seem to be worried about anything.
Right.
And if he didn't seem to be worried about anything, I'm not going to worry about nothing. So, hey.
That was enough for you.
That was enough for me.
You know, you are obviously, as we said up front, you know, viewed as one of the great players of all time. And just from a historical standpoint, if we were to put together a Mount Rushmore of running backs or fullbacks, we would have Jim Brown on there. You would have maybe Barry Sanders, Walter Payton. Is there maybe a guy right now, like a fourth guy in that Mount Rushmore that it's playing right now that you think could be viewed 20 years from now as somebody at the level of those names, including you?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. My friend, my dear friend, Adrian, he has had an unbelievable year last year. He came back from an injury that surpassed courage and talent. It was just somewhere up there that nobody's been in the history of running backs to show that kind of dedication to rehabilitating himself and then having that kind of a year is unprecedented. So I'm glad to be able to say that without hesitation, because after him, I would not have anyone that I would put in that class.
I mean, you've seen so much, you've been around and you've seen so many great players either playing with or watched as a football fan. I mean, was what he did last year, was that kind of stunning to watch that? Was that something even you were like, wow, how is he pulling this off?
Well, yeah, it was amazing because the type of injury and the way you have to depend upon your legs, you can't bypass the need of those legs. And to have that kind of injury and to take on that type of role, the amount of courage that it takes, you can't imagine. And it's the only thing that I could really talk about in this manner that I respect on this degree, because I know how difficult it is to be injured and just to come back and be all right. But to be that great and to show that kind of courage, man, it's unprecedented.
I mean, let's talk about back on the Cleveland Browns, a young running back right there, Trent Richardson, who played through a tremendous amount of pain as a rookie last season. It seemed to really show quite a bit of courage to play through what was a broken rib, leg injuries, never really 100%. Out of the gate, you had some tough comments about him. Do you? Would you like to take any of those back? I know now you guys are relatively close. You've talked a bunch. What's your view on him today?
My view is that I like him. He's a tremendous warrior, and he's a real fine running back that has a chance to prove his greatness. Unfortunately, as you said, he was injured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the things I said about him were not harsh at all. I said he looked like an ordinary back. That's not a criticism. That's a launching pad. What makes you great before you run the ball as a professional player? Heisman trophies winners fail all the time, so you never know who's going to make that leap in the Pro Bowl and be what they were when they were in college. So if you make this prognostication about how great someone is before they make that leap, it's an unnecessary comment to make. And the great thing about the comment is how they receive it. And if he'd been mad and angry with me and held that as a grudge, then he would have shown something that would be weakness in my mind. But he brushed that off his back like it was a feather. He didn't care anything about what I was saying in that sense, because he knew he was going to have to play up to his game regardless of what I said. And he tried to do that. If it were not for injuries, he would have had a tremendous year. But we had three or four conversations, and they were beautiful conversations.
You know, going back to your career, you played 9 seasons. I think a lot of people are just so fascinated that you would step away from the game. Mark and I, before you came in, were just looking over your stats, and what an amazing final season you had. You go into movies, you retire, and you go into movies. As a fan of sports movies, I find it interesting. I'm sure when you began as an actor, you were getting a lot of scripts for movie-type projects. Is that safe to assume?
Some degree.
Yeah. And, you know, my question to you, and I wonder if you agree, is, you know, there have been a lot of great baseball movies, and, you know, there have been great basketball movies, and there have been some good football movies, but there hasn't been maybe a definitive football movie or many. Are you surprised that there aren't more great football movies out there?
Well, Any Given Sunday was a tremendous
That's one of
movie.
Them, yes, that, which you were great in.
Yeah, well, I was in it, and, you know, it... But you're right. It's like there should be more great football movies because it has everything, you know, that it has everything that it should have to be able to be show greatness. I don't know why there hasn't been, but, you know, behind the scenes, there's been three or four. But like you say, there have been some great baseball movies and that took it to another level. So I'm stumped. You finally got me. I don't know why. I can't give you an answer to that one.
Well, I guess my other question is, you've been out in L.A. for a long time, been acting for decades now. Did you ever think to yourself, maybe I'm the one that could put together a great football movie with the insight you have?
No, I wouldn't want to put together a football movie. I saw Tarantino. Just did a film, Django Unchained. And I thought it was a brilliant film. Mm. And so when I look at movies, I look at it across the board. And the people that I know and respect loved it, and then other people didn't like it.
Right.
And I when that movie was over, I stood up in the theater and I laughed. I just laughed, man. It was like, holy smokes, this is funny.
Yeah.
And it was laughter of respect for Tarantino to be able to say so much in the way that he did it.
Right, he's audacious, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, that's a good word. And I just love the film.
Yeah, and Willie Beeman, you're a co-star from Any Given Sunday.
Yeah,
Django. Yeah.
With Any Given Sunday, what was it like? You had some pretty intense scenes with Pacino. I mean, you guys looked like you really were one as a coach and assistant coach. What was it like acting with him?
Oh, it was great. You know, Al Pacino is one of our great actors of all times, and he's a hell of a guy. And he's one of those guys that likes Sinatra. He likes you, he doesn't like you. So he liked me, so I was cool. And we got together and played chess and, you know, hung out a little bit. And it was a great time because we had a lot of good people on that movie. And Oliver Stone is, he's different. You know, he's a different.
Yeah.
He's a different dude.
Yeah.
So he must have fired 20 people. But Al Pacino is a fine actor, and I enjoyed working with him tremendously. And I enjoyed it with the respect of me not being in his class, but accepting the role and playing it to the best of my ability without fear of Al Pacino.
Right.
But so it was that way I looked at it. It was the way I looked at it.
Well, one of the reasons that you're with us today is 'cause back in March, the NFL agreed to pay out $42 million as part of a settlement to a group of retired players who have challenged the league over basically using their names and images without consent. I know that's an issue that's important to you, and you're the chairman of the board of the Retired Pro Football Players Association, and you're trying to get former players to sign this settlement. Is that correct? Do you want to address that issue?
Yes, we want all of the players out there to understand that this is a great opportunity for them, because this will be probably the only chance we'll have to have players who were not stars be able to benefit from something that the National Football League has set up. And the fund that has been set up is for the benefit of any player and all players. And so a lot of our players that are suffering now will get help.
Okay.
And then we're working towards a health plan that can support everything else that's going on in that particular direction. But it's so important to have that fund available to all players and then to be able to hire a firm that can deal with the licensing of our names and images and so forth and so on, and to have that develop into a major fund. So it would be the first time that former players will have anything like this to work with. And the great thing about it is that the judges has basically guided us down this road, because they know that anything that would come from the standpoint of individual monies with 20,000 players and talking about putting enough money up to be able to split that among the players would mean that we'd all get $100.
Right.
You know? And but with this, you have a continual fund, and that fund is controlled by a board of former players and nobody else, just seven of us are the board. I'm the chairman of the board. And we can set out to deal with the most extreme cases of need and work our way backwards. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And there is no other alternative, because if you say, well, Jim, we don't want to deal with it, then I say, well, I'll just go my way and sue them for my image. And I have a real good chance, because I'm used in a whole lot more things than 99% of the other players. Mm-hmm. So those of us who are working for the good of all is working at possibly a sacrifice of our own individual wealth, but that's okay, because it's time that a lot of our players who've never been recognized and who've never been looked out for have a chance to benefit from the National Football League.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. It really is an honor. And I just want to say, before you go, Mark Sessler, he hasn't said it, but he is a big Cleveland Browns fan. Can you tell Mark that the Lombardi Trophy is going to get to Cleveland?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what. You'll see a slow change. And at some point within the next 5 or 6 years, you're going to see something that's going to really make you feel good.
Coming from you, I'll believe it.
Doggone right. We're gonna put everything we have into it, and it's going to produce.
It's going to make one city in this country very happy.
Yes. Jim Brown, thank you very much.
Thank you
guys for having me.
All right. And there he goes, Jim Brown.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
That was pretty impressive, huh?
I'll tell you what. We've had other guests here before. Some unimpressive, but other impressive individuals. There was a bit of there was a feeling in the room. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, he's like one of those guys. I mean, he's one of the players in this league, in the history of this league, that he kind of changes the temperature when he walks in the room. And that's you know, you shake his hand, and that's Jim Brown. So that was pretty cool.
I mean, it's telling to me that, A, he said right off the bat, I don't think about age.
Right.
I want to stay relevant. Two things. He's still involved in the team that he calls his family, and this effort
right.
at the end in terms of helping retired players.
Oh, I mean, what was that, by the way? They want to just...
Well, there is a website. I guess if you're a former player and you're listening to this, if you want to sign this settlement, which sounds important, you can go to a website. It's www.profootballretiredplayersassociation.com.
Yeah.
You can sign
and
it right
he's
there.
He's at the front of... He's the chairman of the board for that. So, I mean, this is something... He doesn't have to be involved with this. I'm sure Jim Brown is doing pretty well financially. But, you know, he's decided, and that's what he said to us, you know, the reason why he hasn't left the Browns. He likes being involved. He likes being, you know, plugged in with the players. So, That was pretty cool.
I like the guy because, and I think we knew this about him to some degree going in. He doesn't mince words, and we had come up with some of our questions beforehand because we do on occasion prepare for this
in
show.
Bar. It's usually in a bar, but yes,
it's the setting where we come up with the preparation is often questionable. But I think we felt like we could ask him anything. It wasn't a guy that you have to tiptoe around. He'll answer any question.
And now give me an honest answer right now. I mean, when Jim Brown tells Mark Sessler that, what was his exact wording? Was it in 5 years or something?
I think he says a change is basically
change
happening.
Change is happening.
Yeah.
Obama style. But he's saying something very special is in store. Well, you got to stay alive, Mark, for 5 years.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Hopefully that's in the cards.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to end up being one of those Final Destination situations where what Jim Brown said is exactly true. However, different things are going to start happening to your life where you're going to step and there's going to be a helicopter blade that goes by you, or a school bus that comes out of nowhere. So you just keep your head on a swivel is what I'm saying.
Yeah, nothing comes easy.
Now, we talked about Any Given Sunday, and I love talking about anything with Jim Brown's Hollywood career, because it's run, I don't think he's doing much acting anymore, but he went from 65 through the 90s, dozens of movies. Any Given Sunday was the movie that, the football film that he was in, and it is a good movie. I know you really liked it, right? When it came out, you went to see it with your dad in the movie theater,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the internet has a very, very deep memory. The internet never forgets. And, we did some research on Mark Sessler Any Given Sunday, and we came across a chat in WashingtonPost.com, and it has that, when a story is old on the internet, when the font has that very, really, like, Times Roman feel to it.
It was possibly written on a typewriter.
Yeah, the HTML is very crude. But here we go. From New Haven, Connecticut, a young Mark Sessler wrote to Oliver Stone, the director. Excuse me.
Incorrect. Wrong town, buddy.
Wrong town. Ridgefield, Connecticut. There he is. It doesn't even give your name up top, although at the bottom I see it does. Let's read what a young Mark Sessler, filled with joy and wonder, wrote to Oliver Stone. Once upon a time, thank you, internet, for all the great things you do. Oliver Stone, your movies bring inspiring power and force to the medium. Wow.
That's
right off the bat. One reason I have started to make my own films, ! Still waiting for those. How do you approach the editing of your films, the flash cuts, grainy images, etc.? And then parentheticals, the shadow figure alone in the stands in Any Given Sunday, I would love to know what you see in your mind as the story develops within. You must have your own screenplay version with all these images included? It's a question, I guess. Yours, not yours truly, just yours, Mark Sessler. Oliver Stone. And, it's funny. Stone gives a rambling, incoherent answer.
Very technical because, I know that is number one. I had like 7 cups of coffee before I wrote that. Something's wrong with me.
They gave 7 cups of coffee to a 9-year-old? Wow.
Well, I was not 9. I'm not as young as you think I am, but I seem extremely naive in my question.
It's kind of adorable. And Jim Brown cracked me up because he said that Oliver Stone fired 20 people while shooting a football movie.
Well, which doesn't actually surprise me because Stone is a total loose cannon. And if you want to search it out on the internet, his answer is a bit loose cannon-y to me. I'm not sure what he's talking about then.
Yeah, if you want to find out how Oliver Stone answered Mark, test your Google skills. But listen, let's go back to what Brown told us about his Mount Rushmore. We teed him up a little bit. I guess Adrian Peterson is almost the obvious answer, as a guy that can join Brown and Walter Payton and Barry Sanders on that type. That's just my Mount Rushmore. Do you disagree with those three names?
I mean, it's hard to disagree.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a fifth guy you could add to that.
You can't do that on Mount Rushmore. It's 4 guys. Everyone knows that.
No, and I'm just, it's at some point, did we put another president on the side of that
mountain? Never.
Mountain?
You cannot ever mess with Mount Rushmore. I'm very serious about this. All matters South Dakota related. I'm very serious.
All right. Well, that's fair. It doesn't sound like Trent Richardson's getting on that mountain then, according to you. But I do think that, again, he didn't say, I think we thought he would, but he didn't backtrack or anything. He basically said, I stand by what I said. To everyone else, what he said about Richardson with this big hubbub. But he's basically saying you haven't arrived as a rookie before you played a game.
Well, I have a theory on this, and I guess I could have brought it up to him, but it's a little Oliver Stonian, so I won't do it, is that when he made that comment, that was when he was in the period of falling out with the previous ownership. I don't think, and the reason I brought up his age, 77, is I don't think he thought this time last year that he would ever be closely associated, or at least professionally associated, with the Browns ever again. So maybe in a Joe Namath type of, tongue, he said, listen, I don't think this guy's that good. Not thinking he was going to end up being back in the Browns organization. Ownership changed over pretty quickly, and Haslam came in and apparently has a really nice relationship with Haslam. And now all of a sudden he's in a bit of an awkward situation because now he's in the organization with Richardson. But at the same time, you're Jim Brown, and you don't have to worry about what anybody thinks about what you say.
Yeah, and if what he says is going to happen, if that comes true, Richardson, Jim Brown, Haslam, all of them might be in a better place than they are today.
So I don't know, how do we top Jim Brown going forward in terms of getting a high-profile guest? Because now that has to be the ground floor. Maybe we can get, I don't know, the Pope, possibly.
Yeah, we'd have to go outside of football circles. So that opens up the range of possibilities.
But, I'm on the case, guys. Don't worry.
Right, we've got Wilk. Who?
Oh, we do? Actually, that's
right.
We've
got Wilk.
We don't want to say, we don't want to tease it too much because it's a lot of pressure on Wilk.
This Jewish kid from North Hollywood has connections at the Vatican, so don't worry about getting the Pope.
So you wouldn't think that, but that's why Wilk is such an unpredictable talent behind the glass.
I think now when we tell people we got a guest coming, it's possibly true. And we do have someone coming next week.
It's a believable lie now, yeah. No, we may have someone next week. We're working on something behind the scenes.
Don't let us down, Alex, okay?
I'm sorry, I won't. You've already sort of let us down on the same guest, so I'm going to provide reinforcements.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking in circles, okay? Listen, that we should probably wrap it up now. Mark needs to go celebrate because the Browns apparently are Super Bowl 53 champions. It's never too early to start celebrating.
Feeling a lot of hope.
So much hope in the room right now. And until next week, we'll let Mark go out on that note as a champion of the future.